Welcome to Empowering Honesty, the podcast where we have honest and candid conversations about life as millennial women. I'm your host, Jillian, and with my co-host, Courtney, together we'll be sharing our experiences of motherhood, adult friendships, our personal mental health struggles, marriage, navigating relationships, and embracing our sexuality in our 30s.
We've created this space to have real, authentic conversations about the ups and downs of life as millennial women, exploring the importance of embracing self-care, nurturing our weaknesses, and owning our desires. In each episode, we'll explore our own stories and insights, as well as curated guests who can provide us with valuable advice and guidance. Our goal is to empower and support you, our listeners, to be honest with yourself and those around you, to build a community of women who are all in this together.
We are back.
I didn't. I was struggling with what kind of cute song to sing there, and couldn't think of any, so I just went with that.
It was going to be Backstreet Boys.
I know. We got on the topic of that and about the 90s and whatnot, which kind of like goes back to like our hashtag millennial women, which we've kind of distanced ourselves from a little bit because we found that although we went into this with the idea that our audience would be a lot of millennials. It's equal parts not millennials. So we've kind of like come to the realization that we are here for women of all ages and not just these millennial women.
Yes.
But speaking of millennials and whatnot, I recently, I don't feel old often.
That's a good thing.
I don't feel old often. Like I still kind of feel like I'm maybe 18-year-old me. And I still think I'm as cool as
I like
I was
the hair flip
I was
as you
18.
Said that.
But recently I went to my so there's 9 years between me and my brother. Significant age gap there. And he's getting married this Labor Day weekend. So a couple weekends ago, went to PEI for my sister-in-law to be his bachelorette. And when we were planning, I'm part of the bridal party, and so is my sister and my sister-in-law to be's, I think, five best friends. So it's quite a large bridal
That's a
party.
Big party.
It is. However, I am the oldest in the bridal party and it just feels very weird. So when they approached the idea of what the theme was going to be, they were like, oh, I think it's going to be 90s. I'm like, oh my God.
You were all babies.
Yes. So they were literally born in 1995 or above. My sister was born in 1990. She was there as well. But I was born in the 80s. So I feel like everything we talked about, I'm just like, oh my God, this is coming back full circle. I feel like my mother here, because like my mother in her day used to be like, oh, I wish I kept this. I wish I had kept these bell bottoms. I wish I had kept these flare jeans because all those styles are coming back. But it's happening to us.
It totally is.
Those styles are coming back. So when it came time to like, so the decor was all like 90s, which was totally up my alley. I'm like, oh my God, this is so cute. When it came time to pick out our outfit we were wearing out on Saturday night, it had to be like 90s themed. So I was like, oh my God, like what am I going to wear? So I went with like the t-shirt, bodysuit underneath a spaghetti strap dress. And I had like the jean hat with the I called it a blossom hat.
A blossom hat.
Yeah, it's a blossom hat. Although exactly Willow corrected me and said it was a sister-sister hat.
Oh, specific. She knows her stuff.
Yeah. Anyways, I was just like, oh my God. So I went to Value Village to find all this stuff. And I was like, this is the perfect spot to go to find all those things. So I went there and I got my outfit. And then shortly after that, Willow was like, well, let's go to Ardeen's. I want to look there. And when I got to Ardeen's, I was like, holy
everything
fuck.
Looks like it. Yep.
The 90s is here. So yep. When I went to the register, I was like, I was buying stuff for Willow and I'm like, I just got an outfit to wear to a 90s bachelorette party. And I was like, I totally should have came here first because this is all 90s. She goes, actually, we're transitioning into the early 2000s now.
Actually?
I was like, oh my God.
My gosh.
So which brings us to the topic of like this fashion cycling and yeah. Like, all that kind of thing, right?
It's like it needs a generation before it can cycle because we're like, you know, that was 30 years ago. And I know that's weird to
oh
say.
Oh my God, my eyes just lit up when she said that. I was like, what?
Oh, because I too remember when like, you know, the flares became popular and trendy and stuff when I was in like grade 6 and then leading into like junior high school. And I remember my mom making those comments and stuff. And now you see it online on these things and these young TikTokers and they're just like, oh my gosh, look at these flared leggings. And we're like, those are yoga pants. And you know what I mean? Like it just.
Yes.
Or you're seeing outfits that like I legit had this outfit. You know,
the one thing that I'm waiting to come back that has not come back yet is stirrup pants.
Oh my gosh.
Remember stirrup pants?
They were like the OG legging.
Yes. But those are one of the only things that have not made a comeback yet.
No.
Those and shoulder pads. Both of those things haven't come back yet.
Mm.
And I'm kind of hoping they don't. I think stirrup pants were the most uncomfortable thing I'd ever worn in my life.
Well, they were like always pulling your pants down.
Exactly. Exactly.
Just they were horrible. And like, as a fat kid in the 90s, oh my gosh, they just...
Did you wear stirrup pants?
I did have them. I remember my mom buying them for me, and they did no one any favors in the sense that, like, because the stirrup always fell off.
Yes.
And they never sat on your waist well enough, so you're always hanking up your pants anyway.
Yeah.
And it just...
Did you have a mushroom cut?
Oh my God, who didn't have a mushroom cut?
Can you imagine? Like, I could not imagine giving my poor daughter a mushroom cut. Oh, like, what were we all...
Like, unwillingly.
What were our parents thinking?
My parents didn't know how to handle my hair, and the mushroom cuts were in. Anyway, my hair was just this, like, really big, right? And they just, yeah, so I had a mushroom cut. And it was, like, grade six, finally, I'm like, I'm not cutting my hair. And so that's when I started growing my hair out, because it was just, they always just sent me for haircuts, and it was always so short. And I didn't want it. And
I don't ever remember being, like, opposed to the mushroom cut, but looking back now, and I'm just like, why? Why did we do that to our little girl?
Or our little boy? Some of those mushrooms were big. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's just... Well, oh what? God. Why? When did we finally figure out feathering and tapering of hair? It was abrupt. But you know, whatever.
Oh God. So yeah. So a little bit about like the we wanted to touch on fast fashion with this too, right? Because we're in that. It's hard.
It is hard.
It is hard right now. Like, everything has gone up. Groceries are more expensive. Clothes are more expensive. Like, everything is more expensive.
Gas goes up like 10 cents every week now.
Oh, my God. It's just ridiculous.
It is insane.
And it's just like, it's hard to steer away from these sites like Shein and Temu or whatever the hell you want to call it. Like, it's really hard
and there's
to steer so away from
many
those.
Of them.
I know.
And it's all like, and it's, there's so many ethics and morals attached, like just bad stuff and like stolen designs and everything. Like it's a big conversation and it really makes you, and I mean, it's really exciting when you first discover it. Cause like I personally myself, I when I first was shown the Shein like a year or two ago,
yeah.
I remember I bought a bunch of stuff because
bathing suit
as like, a large
before.
Woman.
Yeah.
It was I could find clothes that fit me easily and I liked them.
Yeah.
And then you start to like read into it and you're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And you know, it's.
So maybe explain to what you mean by, oh, shit, and ethically, maybe to some people who aren't familiar exactly what Shein and Temu or Temu.
I'm not
just
sure.
I'm going to call it Temu from
I've
now
never,
on.
I've never heard it pronounced, but like same with Shein. I've only ever heard it Shein, some say Shine. I'm not sure.
Anyways, we all know what we're talking about here.
Exactly. You know what's up. But if you don't know, so like these are really big online stores. They sell things for like... pennies in the grand scheme of things and they constantly have huge promos on, so like, you know, buy this much you get this much off the next coupons whatever, so it's really like
it's
you know it's addictive in that sense too, right? So they're pulling at all those things like, oh, flash sale, it's gonna be gone. And but unfortunately these websites, you know, they're not coming from like wholesalers. They're producing products that are stolen, like designs.
Yeah.
Like they will like flat out, they'll even take the artwork from the website,
yeah.
from the Etsy page, from the designer's page, and they'll use those images and then they'll just make a rip of the product just to sell it out for
a
fraction. And they don't pay their workers. They're making it's warehouse conditions.
If you dig into it a little deeper, you can definitely, like, we don't need to elaborate too much.
Yeah,
but you
really have to question your ethics and your morals, you know, when you start looking into it. And it's like, is this something I'm willing, you know, because there's power in our dollar. And people don't think there is, but every time you choose to spend your money somewhere, like, local or, you know, and yes, it's expensive and it's a choice, but there's power in that. And the more people give their power to these like, you know, And we're at a point where we're reading more about the world and that fast fashion, it's washing up on shores. There's just like mountains and mountains and mountains of these styles because it's cycling so quickly.
Yeah.
And it's all just getting turfed and it's like, it's cheap material. It doesn't hold up. And, you know, so it's really the era of starting to really look at those old fashions,
yeah,
and you know, making it your own and like looking at the thrift stores.
Yeah, I was just gonna bring
like,
that up.
Yeah,
like my manager at work is a prime example. Like she is so friggin' thrifty. Like so on her lunch break, she'll go over to the Daisy, which used to be called the Dawson Daisy, which is basically all the money goes back into the hospital through the auxiliary and stuff like that. But people donate their stuff. And she did a whole week last week of where every dress that she wore was a dress that she had thrifted, whether it be from Frenchie's or from the Daisy or whatever. And I was like, that is awesome. Like, but for me, I hate going to these thrift stores and having to like sort through shit like that. Like, But why? Because I can sit there and scroll on Shein for an hour to find something I want, but I can't go to a thrift store and like, you know what I mean? Like, so why am I like this?
There's a disconnect happening there somewhere when you, because it's like, so where like the big town between where Jillian and I live, like there is a used clothing store. It's a Frenchies, which is the brand on the East Coast.
Yeah.
But like we never go in. Like, if I'm going to town...
Halloween is about the only time I ever go in there.
We used to go to PJ's, which was down, headed towards...
PJ's was great.
And we used to go there all the time because it was where we traveled. So, yeah, and it was nothing to just be like, you know what? I got some time. I'm going to stop in a PJ's quick. But finding those thrift locations, those places where you can stop in, get some used clothes, you're supporting a local business. Friends of mine have a shop over in the Valley, Amator Supply, and it's amazing. It's gender inclusive, size inclusive, and that's really become the focus for so many of these businesses. Like when Alex and Margaret started it, they really wanted to make sure that they were looking for like, you know, thoughtfully curated pieces, but that you weren't walking in like, okay, well, this is the women's section and this is the men's section.
Okay.
And it's like everything is just this. These are t-shirts.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's you're not looking
That's
at.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And it's shifting the focus of like, because when you walk in somewhere and you're being told, well, this is, you know, this is for the ladies and this is for the guys. They're just clothes.
Yeah.
They're just clothing.
Yeah.
And if you put it on your body and you love it and you feel cute in it, wear it.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Know, it doesn't
exactly.
matter. Like, and put
Almost in the men's section, like for t-shirts and sweaters
Absolutely,
and things like
right?
that. Like, I mean, like, obviously I'm not going to buy underwear there, but I mean, like, who's buying secondhand underwear anyways? What am I talking about?
But yeah, like just, you know, looking around for places that you can start looking for more ethically sourced clothing, you know, recycled clothing, like clothing that, you know, otherwise will end up in landfill,
yeah.
You know, but I love what, you know, you said that they were doing going to the Daisy and like, you know, a week of like outfits.
Yeah.
That's
I love
a really
that idea.
Good challenge. And because if you really... I remember years ago seeing this blog, back when blogs were a thing, before social media really took off.
Before blogs went to vlogs.
Right?
And now we're reels.
And it was just Facebook, you know? It was, you know, they were blogs and you went and you read them daily,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you checked for the content. But it, anyway, they gave themselves a budget of $365. And that was for their budget for clothing. And they were going to be buying used clothing and they were going to reshape all these outfits with that much money.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting to see every outfit that they like. They bought oversized outfits and they took like pieces and then they like stitched them together. And, you know, I mean, that's assuming you're creative with and you can use a sewing machine. My skills are not there. However, it's a really cool, you know, get creative. And then your clothes are more individual, more, you know, especially when you find something that just really speaks to you or supporting like local brands and stuff like and where things are, you know, they're going to be sourced in an ethical manner.
Yeah.
And, you know, brands that. Represent
That's one of the things
want
that like,
dollar to be.
I wanted to do when I started doing the hat bar is that I wanted to carry some kind of Western inspired clothing.
Yeah.
So I started kind of like digging into that and stuff like that. And the wholesale website that I use is very good about promoting ethically sourced things. And a lot of the time, the wholesalers I'm buying from are people who've designed and made these shirts and things themselves. Yeah. So I was finding all these designs and I like be like, okay, I want to bring this in and I want to do that. Okay, well, I'm going to have to charge this much for this shirt and blah, blah, blah. And anyways, I had come up with a couple, like, I put a lot of stuff in, there's a lot of stuff in my cart, let's just say that, for one day when I get a business loan and I'm able to, like, buy all this stuff. But one of the shirts that I found, I was like, okay, I really like that idea. And then, like, the next day I seen somebody and they were, like, wearing this shirt. And I'm like, oh my God, where'd you get that? And they're like, Temu. I'm like, oh my God. They're like, yeah, it was only $10. And I'm like, how am I going to compete with that? Like, there's this person who can go out and they can buy this t-shirt that I was going to carry at my online shop. And they bought it for $10 off of Temu, but I'd have to charge $35 for it. Who's going to spend $35 for the same kind of shirt? You know what I mean? Like,
but so much of it is having these conversations to shift that perspective. Again, the power in our dollar is there. We're not having a discussion yet about, you know, my veganism. However, there is power in your dollar. And every time you spend your dollar, because people are like, well, it's so expensive. But I went vegan 5.5 years ago.
Yeah.
And what was available locally was nothing compared to what is now.
Oh, yeah.
And that's absolutely because perspectives are changing and people are spending their money on it.
Yeah.
And the same goes for clothing. We're having these conversations about, you know, the ethics behind what we're spending our money on and what we're willing to contribute to, and something that, you know, we live in a society where we can't run around naked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, unfortunately we can't.
Yeah.
But like when we spend our money on clothing, it's, you know, do I want to, yeah, sure. It's appealing to spend $100 and get like 30 outfits.
Yeah.
Sure, totally. Yeah. But it's like, or do I want to spend my money mindfully, consciously, you know, support local people who are my neighbors, whether I know them individually or not,
yeah.
You know, or which support other practices, because
do you really need 100 outfits, or yeah, could you get by with fewer?
Is it just, oh, are you
and
just,
you end up spending the same amount of money on fewer outfits? And
yeah,
it's just like, how many of those bathing suits from Shein that I bought are, I don't even know where they are right now, or they're sitting in a drawer somewhere and I'm wearing the same bathing suit every day. You know what I mean? Like,
and there's the quality there, and like on top of it, when you think, because there's, it's called cognitive dissonance, is when people, you know, it's this idea that, you know, Shein's just this big corporation or whatever corporation you're looking at, and you don't see the people behind it. So it's easy for you to just be like, you know, click, cart, buy, wait, yes, wait for the package to show up. And I bought all my outfits and they're cute and whatever, whatever, whatever. But there are people behind that that are being mistreated, and like they're not getting living wages. And if you consider for just even just take a moment and consider, like, you know, how do I feel about not making a living wage? Or, you know, would I accept anything less than a living wage?
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. And if that's where my money is going to contribute to further encourage these businesses to thrive on, which, you know, and it's also a conversation of like just the waste. And you know, it's a climate conversation. Mm. It circles into so many different pots.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Like the shipping to get it here. And,
yeah. Like, and it's just, you know, it's click of a button and we can have whatever product shipped to us. And,
yeah,
you know, and there's a lot of moving pieces to it. And yes, you would have to charge $35. And to that person who spent $10 on that t-shirt, you know, to them today, it might not mean anything. But if we and other people, you know, as you know, get this information and we're having these conversations, it's about changing the conversation.
Yeah.
And because it's, I always come back to, you know, the mighty maple doesn't drop hundreds of thousands of seeds every year to grow hundreds of maple trees. You know what I mean? It's only one tree might take.
Yeah.
You know, and that's all it takes. It only takes one person to finally be like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to think about how I'm spending my money. And then they start having conversations.
Yeah.
And, you know, for every 10 people, if one person kind of suddenly goes, huh, it cascades. It evolves. It grows from
there. I'm definitely going to be more mindful of it. Like, just having this conversation with you right now and just being like, okay, like, instead of sitting at home and scrolling through Shein for all this stuff, like, I could be taking that time and just stopping into Frenchie's,
right?
Or the Daisy, or you know,
you know, checking out what other local clothing thrift shops there are in the area. You know, different places that have brands that they create, or like, and as yourself, as you are venturing into a clothing brand, like, you know, Coastal Cowgirl, Salty Spirit, Wild Soul, which. It's,
you know what I had thought about doing too with it is like I'm still struggling to find like a specific like fabric and style and like all that kind of stuff. So like I've been getting stuff here and there and whatnot. But I had thought about going to secondhand stores and just buying a bunch of like blank stuff.
I love
and just,
it.
Like, throwing.
Oh my gosh.
Throwing my emblem and throwing
it's
my designs
so individual.
On it. Right.
That's a great idea. Like, and that's another thing is like you're buying clothes that otherwise would be sent to landfill, and you're supporting a franchisee or independent business owner in that case as well. And
for me, I like to be different with my fashion. I don't like to be wearing what everybody else is wearing. And like, I sometimes struggle with that because it's just like in a small town with little accessibility to like places. Like I find like if you go to Winners, it's like you get this, and it's like I ended up at a wedding where somebody was wearing the exact same thing.
Oh,
so it's like, oh, where'd you? Yeah, because there's only Winners to shop in this town. Yeah. You know what I mean? I like having my own individual fashion. So like by going to a thrift store, it's kind of like I'm ensuring that. And if I were to put my brand and my style on something I got there, somebody's going to get that and it's going to be theirs and nobody else is going to have the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Like that's the whole thing with like the hats too. Like
it's individual.
Everybody loves to wear hats. Hats are totally in right now. But what can we do to make your hat stand out from everybody else?
Definitely. And just, yes, all of us have way more financial issues and budgeting than we all have to deal with right now. It's hard out there. It's totally hard out there. But the biggest thing to remember is like wherever you can, if you are choosing to spend your dollar mindfully and ethically, you know, to the best of your knowledge, it has an impact. And the more of us that do that, it changes things. Truly changes.
It's hard
things.
To see that sometimes, though. Like you're really good about like seeing. Like I'm a very like, I don't know. I can't say that I have blinders on, but I'm very much this person that's like, if it's not in front of me, I don't sometimes see it. You know what I mean? But you're very good at like digging deeper into those things and seeing. And I always see is like, oh well, I'm just one person. You know, I'm not going to make
but
that.
But
you're
big not one person because like having those conversations blends into more people, and it just becomes. What is that theory? Anyway, it whatever. But like one person can easily affect 100 people.
Yeah. Yeah.
100. Just it. Hundo P. but it just it shifts things. And when people talk about things that are cheap, it's. McDonald's is a good example. It's like, well, you know, they can charge $1.19 for a little burger. And it's like, but it's because of, you know, it's so mass produced.
Yeah.
And there's so many government subsidies. And you know what I mean? It's coming from a cheap place. Like it's if everything would be cheap if that was the case. But like there's power in your dollar. There's power in your wallet. And every time you choose, you should be making sure that it counts for what you believe in and what's important to you.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Very good point.
So tell us how do you dress fashionably? What styles are you loving that are coming back? How do you dress individually? How do you maintain your individuality with your style every day? How do you embrace that? What interesting things do you do to keep it fresh? And tell us about it on our Instagram at Empowering Honesty.
Love to hear from you as always.
Yeah.
Till next time.
We love you.